PodNuts wants to thank everyone who supports the network by going to www.podnuts.com/Amazon.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Geeksters episode 142. If you're joining us live, we are recording this at a strange time. It's 7:44 in the morning over here in Pacific Coast time. You guys over there at the East Coast getting it 10:40. But one of the best things is that this is December 31st. We're catching it just in time. Want to get one more episode out to you guys before we sign off and start the new year on a new foot. Well, it'd be the same foot, but it's a new year, so it's going to be a new foot. But
fiscal foot.
That's right, a new fiscal foot. There we go. Thanks, Tim. So I'm Martin Obando, of course, one of the hosts here in Geeksters, and thank you for coming out and joining us. Geeksters is a show where we just talk about geeky stuff. Anything, Linux, cars, what is it, guitars, microphones, headphones. I mean, good grief. We'll talk about anything, and sometimes we talk about stuff you probably don't even want to hear us talk about. But that's too bad. We like talking. So my co-hosts today are Tim and Mitch. How's it going, guys?
Good here. Really good.
Doing good, man. This is weird. We're recording this at a weird time, and so we demand our listeners listen to the podcast at a weird time, just so that it feels the same.
Well, and I try to get it, you know, I try to notify everybody on Google Plus and that we're, you know, when the dates and the times change, so we can keep listeners up to date.
It's the least we could do. I mean, I know that you call many of them personally.
I try to. I've got a phone tree. I just go down. I use my old rotary phone. It does take a toll on my finger.
But, rotary phone. You don't call up the operator.
Oh,
operator. I need Greenville 5-3289. Guess that is a party line.
I should try that. I wonder what happened if I called the operator.
I don't know. I bet you'd take a half hour before you got a real person.
Are there any operators anymore?
Not in the traditional sense where the operators actually operate the equipment, you know, pulling patch cables and slapping. I imagine you would eventually get some tier one customer service rep.
Yeah, I'm sure not from this country.
But I think if you actually wanted somebody pulling cables and punching them, I think you'd...
Well, no, I mean, like, what if you picked up your... Well, here's the thing. On a cell phone, if you pick up and dial zero, that's not really going to work. So it had to be a landline. And if you picked it up and just hit zero, would you go to somebody?
Yeah, Lily Tomlin, probably. Are you guys old enough to remember that?
I remember Lily Tomlin. Yeah, that was laughing, right?
Yeah, exactly, yep.
I've had a landline in eight or 9 years.
So I don't have one either.
I have no idea.
We have one. I don't know why.
Oh, well, Mitch, pick up the phone.
No. I mean, I had Magic Jack, which I never use.
That's Magic Jack.
I did away with that. No, but I do have a landline. I mean, with Comcast. Actually, it's pretty cool because we get phone calls and it'll flash on TV who the phone call's from. And then I learned something else. I'm one. I'll get into all that because I got a bunch of stuff to talk about what I've been doing for the last few days. I had a couple friends. They upgraded. They bought new laptops. So, you know, just backing up the data from their old ones, putting on the new ones. Now, this one gentleman, a good friend of mine, this is his second PC. He had a Core 2 Duo HP Vista. It was about 7 years old. And he is so, like, he never touched a computer before that. And if something's out of place, he's very OCD. Like, if an icon moves out of place, why did not icon move over there? You know, it's just very, I love the guy to death, like a brother to me. But anyway, just explaining stuff to him. And then Windows Vista has Windows Mail on there. So he was using that for Comcast for his mail, a local mail client. Now, of course, Windows 7 doesn't have a local mail client. You have to download one. You know, or use, you know, Windows Live Mail, and he's
probably only now getting over the trauma from having to stop using Outlook Express, I would imagine.
Well, it was Windows Mail.
But he had XP.
No, Vista. That's the only computer he's ever had.
Oh, okay. So, my gosh! And this is his first computer.
He's on his second one now, he wanted to put Windows Mail on the new one and the old one. And I at the time, I didn't think you could have in sync. But they do have an IMAP, you know, configuration, which I did. I did it on here. I'm testing it with mine, so it looks like it's working pretty well, actually. So I'm going to put that on his. But originally, I did put download Windows Live Mail, and it's too close to, it looks a lot like Outlook. Mm-hmm. And he was getting, it was too confusing for him. Yeah, so
in the new versions, though, of Windows Mail, you can actually import and export out, which is one of the things that Outlook Express could not do, and it was kind of a real big frustration.
See, we're talking about Windows Mail, not Outlook Express. He never used that.
No, I know that, but I'm saying the new versions of Windows Mail, even the what would be comparative to Outlook Express, you can import and actually export out of now.
Oh, yeah, but there was utilities, real easy utilities you could download that did all that for you with Outlook Express. I remember back in the day. But I'm experimenting with Thunderbird, which is a pretty plain Jane. It's nice, and I've used it before. And I did find, from Comcast, I found IMAP settings. So I tried it on two of mine, and it seems like they are being in sync. Like, I put it on this one, I put all the configurations in here, and I deleted a message upstairs, and I came down here, it was still here. But when I closed out of this one, it opened back up, it deleted. So I'm thinking it's doing the in sync thing, and that's the main thing. So I think we'll be able to do that. He just doesn't like to use the Comcast web interface. He just gives it's nothing difficult, you know. No, but he wants to know why he was emailing or getting videos and emails, like 10-15 megabyte emails with a number. I said, number one, Jay, you shouldn't be sending videos in an email. You should just do the links. What's a link? How come they're not opening up? They opened it up in Windows Mail, and I got him to open up in the web interface. And so he's just very hard to, he's always going to be complaining about something, very OCD. And but I think using this Thunderbird, I'll put that on his, I think he'll be fine with that. I like it, because I was using my Gmail to capture my Comcast mail, which is like nothing. I never get anything from it. But I deleted that, and I'm just going to use the Thunderbird. So, because I like it so much, it looks so good, actually.
Yeah, I've been a user of Thunderbird for many years.
Now, are they up? At one time, I thought they weren't going to update anymore, but it looks like they are updating it.
Oh, I don't know. They keep updating for me.
See, one time they said they were stopped. I remember support was supposed to stop for them or something, but it looks like they are updating it now again.
Yeah,
unless somebody took it over.
I've had
because that was part of Firefox at one time.
Well, it was part of, it's owned by Mozilla, mm-hmm. and it's part of their whole suite. They used to have a suite called, is it SeaMonkey? Maybe
no, SeaMonkey's, I mean, you might be right. But they had the whole suite in there. They had a WYSIWYG HTML editor in there at one time, remember, which was pretty good back in the day, if you remember that.
Yeah.
With Netscape, I think it was, yeah.
Yeah, Netscape. Yeah. But yeah, with Thunderbird, there's lots of plugins for Gmail. Since I use Thunderbird as my primary email, and all my emails hosted by Google, so there's plugins for Google Calendar. There's plugins for that make it talk between the calendars, which is
nice. So you like using a mail client, then, apparently?
Yeah, I use Thunderbird as my primary email. And like I said, it works great on Linux. And one of the nice things about it, especially in a Linux environment, is when I have to upgrade my machine, all I do is grab the Thunderbird application. And I pull it out, upgrade or to a new machine, and I drop it right back into Thunderbird, my profile, and all my emails there, my sent items, everything's there. It's ready to go. So I can actually move email across computers by just copying a folder directory.
Mm-hmm. It's very portable.
Yeah, very portable.
Now, if I want to put Thunderbird on both two of his computers, I don't have to do all that, do I?
Well, no, you can put Thunderbird on, but if you're already using IMAP, if you put Thunderbird on both of his computers and you set him up for IMAP, they'll sync across each other.
That's what I'm doing, yeah. That's what I did with my two, and everything looks, knock on wood, so good.
And then if you have the IMAP settings and you make those settings, say, on his phone, if he's got a smartphone, the IMAP will then sync across all three devices.
Okay.
Yeah, so you have pop mail, which is what we're used to, beginning mail, where it's just you're just pulling it down.
See, because when I went through the setup it's been a long time since I used a mail client, and so I let it do it automatically, but it does the POP one. Do it automatically. So I had to delete that and start over, and then I manually put the, I think it had the ports were different, and I think it used IMAP on the outgoing one. Still use SMTP on the one, but it was IMAP on the other.
Right, because it comes in differently. Right. So yeah, you've got POP and then IMAP, and then you have your full exchange is your kind of your hierarchy of from lowest being POP and best being IMAP exchange. IMAP kind of sits in the middle. It's kind of a hybrid. It works good, and a lot of companies. And what's nice about that is a lot of companies like Google, Hotmail, will allow you to use IMAP when the exchange isn't available.
Right,
and you want to do more synchronization than POP will.
Yeah, I'm satisfied so far, and he will be too, I hope.
Well, keep us informed, because we want, that's a good, teaching somebody how to do something is the best way to learn how to do, you know what I mean? Is the best way for you to learn. I always forget how to do something until somebody says, hey, can you show me how to do that?
Exactly.
And I just do it instinctively.
But you want to learn. We want to learn, but some people, they don't want to do anything different, or they oppose any kind of change, and it's very difficult to.
And it was for him to get a new computer.
What's that?
Whose idea was it? Was it his own idea?
He's got a 7-year-old HP.
So he was forced into it. He was probably kind of like dragging his heels about the whole thing.
But anyway, I wanted to put 7 on it. I mean, we upgraded the RAM. We went from 3 to 4. I said, Jay, let me put 7 on there. I got a spare hard drive here. We won't have to touch your hard drive. And he was just hemming and hawing that. And maybe I should get a new one. And I still want to put 7 on the old one. But you know, I don't know. I just don't get a straight answer from him, and he don't know. We did put Malwarebytes on the new one, and he bought it. It was off Newegg. It was $14 for 3 computers.
Oh, very nice.
So I don't know what it'll be the second year, but so he put it on the one. And here's another stupid thing. I don't buy stuff. I hardly buy anything online. I've bought quite a bit from Newegg, but not in recent years. So we go there and we saw it on there. The download one's $14, $14.95. And he's trying to put his credit card in. It's not taken. Well, it was for a promo, the promo spot to put in a promo number and stuff like that. We put in the credit card. We called his wife because his wife buys stuff. Well, I didn't catch it either. So felt real stupid about that. But then we finally got that, and it's like it's hardly you. And he uses on his other one, that Webroot Spy Sweeper suite thing, and the Malwarebytes on the new one's hardly using any CPU cycles working in the background, really, really working good.
So. That sale for Malwarebytes, if anybody's listening, is still going. There's the link I just threw in the chat. But $14.95 for 3 PCs 1 year. Mm-hmm. So it's you save 50%. So that's
because I think on Malwarebytes.org on their site it's like $30, $29.
Yeah, $29.95. So definitely go out and grab this if anybody has this. I'll make sure to put this into the notes and send this out today.
I want a copy and I'm not using it anymore. I had it on my I don't like nothing running in the background.
That's right.
No, I mean, I know what to click. I don't get,
Right. Well, that's the thing. You know, it's the same reason why Steve Gibson for many, many years ran Windows XP. It's just because if you know what to click on, then, you have a less chance of getting infected.
Now you sandbox the IE when I...
Or yeah. Yeah, exactly.
I've never gotten affected in that. Never. And I try to.
Very nice. The ongoing saga of my one client who has Windows XP, who freely admits that he goes to sites that he should never go to, but he does anyways, and then completely gets his computer infected. And then what happens is then his wife gets frustrated because as soon as his computer gets infected, he closes it, puts it off to the side, commandeers her computer.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah, and then gets her computer infected.
That's right. He had a good, the system works, but you got to adhere the rules. If you have an extra machine, that's what it's for. So as soon as you can't use it, you get the extra machine fixed. He's cross-pollinating everything.
Exactly.
It's why have an extra machine if you're just going to do that?
So I got his computer in last week, fixed it up. He's gone for a couple weeks. He's down in Los Angeles. So his wife's here in town. So I got his computer in, cleaned it up last week. Her computer, I'm going to be delivering it coming up here. But, while he's gone, it's like, okay, he's gone for 2 weeks. Let's go ahead and let's scrub everything out. Let's clean it up. Let's start from baseline. We'll be deploying a new printer and stuff like that to them. And then I think we're going to try to go with the managed services. That is the one thing I like about GFI. Speaking of managed services that I use, is that GFI will install on, or at least the GFI antivirus will install on Windows XP.
Is that Viper, right?
I believe it's some kind of modified version of Viper.
Right.
But it comes with, for the cost, it comes with the GFI. And so, mm-hmm.
As I recall, they bought Viper.
Viper was owned by Computer Associates for a long time, right?
Right. I believe you're right. Which I think was out here in Maryland at one time, I believe.
I'm thinking they acquired it and they rebranded it as, whatever they call it. But it still uses the Viper engine and all that. And
I heard a lot of good stuff about it. I've never used it, but at one time.
What are your, what's your experience with it so far, Martin? It's pretty good.
Actually, well, first off, if you go to viperantivirus.com, it's still available. So they must do some kind of a resale or they must work with it. I don't...
Vipre.
Yeah. So it's still out there, and you can buy just it. But, you know, I think we've all have done this before, where we say, I've been burned once or twice or three times by a certain product, and so you just stop using it for a long time, yeah. whether mm-hmm. it's, you know, Norton's or, you know, just to name a few, Norton's, or you know, or Norton. just, you know, off the top of my head.
it's funny because it's like Norton is now just like a catch-all for anything that's bad. It's like, Norton. I saw a terrible Norton last night with the movie theater. What was that called? I can't remember. Norton was the worst Norton I ever saw. And I tell you, she had a wonderful steak, but they brought my Norton. It was the Nortonist.
Yeah, the only Norton I ever liked was on Jackie Gleason.
I'm too old for that. I'm too young for that.
Yeah, you both are. Somebody in the chat room might be. I mean, Highlander probably.
My wife had a rat named Norton. Unfortunately, right. It was a lab rat. She had to kill it. That's my only connection. And that was another bad Norton.
Sad story.
Another bad Norton experience.
Hey,
it was the Nortonist.
Real fast. You know, I did get my wife an Acer laptop. It was a quad core. Intel quad core, and it wasn't the I series. I guess it's between like a Celeron and a i3 and Windows 8, and it really, really it runs quite well. She's coming from like a single
Norton on it.
What's that?
You should put Norton on it.
I think it had it on there. It's gone. That's one of the first things I took off. Yeah. And the other two that I worked on, my buddies, they had one had McAfee, the other one had Norton. That all came off.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, but it's. I mean, she's coming from like a AMD single core, was about 7 years old, and the 3 gigs of RAM. She had a Vista, and it's a big difference. I mean, I'm surprised how good this quad core runs. It's an Intel. It can go up to 2.7 or something like that. And really nice for, I think I only paid like $225, 500 gig hard drive, 4 gigs of RAM. It's nice.
Wow. That's very nice. Very nice. Back to your initial question, Tim. I have had no problems with it. It's actually for the GFI running whatever antivirus they're running. I was a little leery at first because, like I said, I've been burned by Computer Associates in the past, and I was kind of concerned on what they were going to do.
Yeah, that's just that name kind of like kind of makes my back straighten out a little bit.
Yeah,
but yeah, it was they did some Norton-y things.
They did. Yeah. But I've been really impressed with it. I really have had very little issues with it. It's found stuff that other viruses, other products haven't found, which, but what it's finding a lot of malware and spyware, which is what I really like of the whole antivirus malware protection that GFI provides. It works good. I mean, I would think that a computer would be completely, immune. Or something was nothing was being found. I'd put this on it, and it would do some scans, and I'd find some stuff. So, and that's not to say that one is worse than the other, because we all know that trends happen, and what's good today is going to be bad next, tomorrow, and vice versa. But overall, I'm very pleased with it. I think it's very slim, it's very small, and I keep getting people asking me whether or not I can take over and manage their computers with the GFI.
And that was my experience too. Was that it was It did what you wanted it to do, and I found that it often did so much more than like I was expecting. But it just suited its job. It was very quiet. It was unobtrusive. It was very effective. And usually it was kind of it was kind of like it just strolled in after the job. Like, I took care of all this crap. Yeah. I'm like, wow, you took care of all it. Yeah, that's what I do. It's like, wow, I'm thinking, well, I got to go in there, and I got. And it's like, no, it's just done. Done. It's like, wow, it's so awesome. I mean, and it really, I always felt that it was very good. It was very proactive in finding things, like where, for example, recently with Avast, but I'm sure it was Microsoft Security Essentials, where it's like, everything's fine. It hasn't found anything for a while. Nothing's going on. But as soon as you start indexing some folders or searching something, like, and it kind of roots through an area that hasn't been in a while, it's like, hey, I found this. And it's like, well, wait, what have you been doing all this time? I mean, I know it's not doing full scans every day, but it is set up to do scans. I think out of the box, it do a full scan on Sunday night or something. I don't know, but I have mine set up once a week, do a really complete scan, and so it kind of tattles on itself where it's like, it's like, well, I found this. And it's like, well, you didn't really find it. It just, you know, that's a suspect file just kind of happened to come up as another process was coming along, and you just happened to notice it. And, I always thought that, whatever the managed antivirus, whatever it is, if it's still the Viper, but yeah, I always felt that it was always very good about kind of catching stuff immediately. Like, you know, I remember getting the reports where it's like, oh, I got this and I got this and I got this. And I was like, well, you know, it's really on the ball. And so I don't know, but it was quiet. It was unobtrusive. It did its job without like frustrating or even alerting the user. You know, the user could just kind of keep Norton along doing whatever they were doing to the machine, but you know, it would just kind of take care of business. And one thing that I cannot stand is any bit of software that constantly gets up and is trumpeting its accomplishments, you know, no matter how real or contrived, because the user just wants to use the machine, and they don't want to know any of that. And so anything that's constantly presenting anything kind of mess, I mean, that's what spyware does. So, you know, please don't do that to me. So,
right.
I'm glad to hear that it still seems to be doing what, you know, it was doing for me a couple years ago when I was really involved with it. So, I really liked it. It's rare that I kind of have something that I like and discover something new that I like as much or better. Yeah. Yeah, so that's good to know.
Well, I currently have this, you know, my product, or the GFI product, deployed on 4 servers and 107 workstations.
Wow.
Well, I'm sorry, say it again.
So 4 servers and 107 workstations are what I'm monitoring. And it's been great. I mean, over the holidays, somebody clicked on the conduit and I was notified right away. It quarantined it. I went into the quarantine. I deleted it. So I mean, it's just keeping, people from.
What is that worth? Right there, that alone. I mean, that alone, right there, just the savings and productivity for that single user.
Yeah.
Conduit. Oh, I'd like. I tell you what, I'd like to find that I'd like to take a piece of conduit upside their head. It's just. Yeah. Don't get me started. I got myself started. Sorry,
it's all right.
Yeah.
So what? So Tim, I saw that you had asked out in the chat room what everybody had, you know, something cool they got for Christmas.
Yeah, like Christmas gifts.
I was curious.
We're kind of wrapping up this whole like holiday thing. It's the last day of the year.
Mitch has got something there. It's Mitch, what is that, Mitch? A Logitech 920, C920.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
In the box.
Oh. I'll take it out sometime.
You can do it right now, live unboxing on the show.
Yeah, ooh. There's plenty of those.
Plug it in. Watch your sister.
But I will do. Yeah, I ordered.
Does it come free with Norton?
I ordered that Fender Stratocaster Deluxe guitar. I will be doing something on that.
So expect a new theme music for Geeksters coming up here. Little.
No, I don't play that well, but I just play for my own enjoyment.
Lion, he's a lion.
I know.
But such I will. So humble. I'll do some stuff on YouTube. I mean, to me, it's like
he's one of these guys. He's like, you run into, I can't play, and then there's like smoke blowing out of her fingers, and he's just ripping it off, and you're just like, you feel like a tard standing.
I can't do anything like that. There's 12-year-old girls.
Guitar tard over here. He just like Nortons you.
Nah, I just play a couple licks here.
Mitch is a man. He's
no, not. But anyway, much better than he looks. This is it's like an investment too, because these like a regular $100 guitar. This will retain its value. It might go down a little bit, but at one point it can go back up again because of what it is. So,
I'll keep it off the floor.
Yeah. It's got a case. My other one didn't have it. It had what they call a gig bag, which is just a little, like a computer bag over the top of it, which I never use. But yeah, I'm excited. I just can't wait till it comes in.
It's a hard case.
Yeah, it'll be a hard case, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, it's you. It's
it comes with it standard.
You didn't have it yet. Well, you had to order it.
Yeah, I ordered it Christmas Eve, and then he called me up yesterday. Let me know that it was in. It's on the way. The color I wanted and everything, and so I'm real excited.
Very cool.
That's awesome. When do you expect to be getting it?
He said 5 to 8 days. Might be a little longer because of this time of year, but it'll get here. It's coming from the factory in I forget where, somewhere in California. I forgot the name of it.
It's been 5 to 8 days, isn't it?
Yes, it has.
Oh.
Yeah. Well, I was there Christmas Eve, so he didn't order then, so he probably did it the day after Christmas, ordered it, which was probably would have been Friday. So it probably hasn't been a week yet, really. Today's Wednesday, so.
That's cool.
I'll get it.
That's cool.
Just hope
they deliver it to your place? You got to go to the store and pick
it. I don't want them to deliver it here. I'll get it to the store. True. He's got to do stuff. He's got to close. They have a floating bridge on there. I want that. He's going to lock that down because I don't use the Wawa a lot.
Oh, okay.
And he'll do stuff, make sure everything's right and make sure the action is right.
Nice. Just kind of like a new car, it goes through inspection, back in the service department first, and it goes into detail. They make it new. They make it new for you.
Well, coming out of the box, fenders, most of the time they're ready to go. It's going to be tuned and everything, but shipping, who knows what happens during shipping,
Right. I'm seeing these commercials now. There's a post office. With the post office, I beg you, just please find some business model. Please stop doing what you're doing. Just do something.
They're all over the place. You're on Sundays now. They're doing a lot of stuff Sundays. Regular mail, but packages they're doing.
But I'm seeing commercials now. God love you, post office. I know you try, but the private sector has showed you over and over and over again that they can do it better, cheaper, faster. Have you seen the commercials for the post office now? They say, well, if you have to send something back, well, you can just tell us, and we're coming to your house anyway, and we'll just take it away. It's like, because I guess for these areas, you have to box it up, right? UPS, they didn't say, but you have to... UPS will bring it to you, but if you have to send it back, whoa, oh my gosh, now it's a disaster. You have to get in your car and go somewhere. And the post office, they say, well, we're coming to your house anyway, which that's a little creepy. We'll just take it away. Like, it's such a service. And I'm thinking, every single thing I've ever got from the post office that I had to ship back was broken because they just threw it at my door. Everything UPS brought was fine. And I never had to send anything back with the UPS. So, look, post office, just please stop.
What's your experience, Martin? Because I'm sure you ship a lot of stuff and receive a lot of stuff.
Anyway, that's just kind of a thing.
Well, no, I just had the post office lost a package one time. It's lots of mail goes through the post office this time of year, and I have received Christmas cards.
They just throw in the back room. I think half of it. You know what? My mailman, I catch him napping around the thing, and you know what? The guy has one job: take my mail, put it in the box, close the door. I come here, I got somebody else's mail. Next day I come, the door's hanging open. That's all. You have to take the mail, put it in the box, shut the door. It's just too much, man.
The few times I ship stuff via, regular U.S. Post Office, I gave, I think I sent a couple hard drives to Tyson Brooks, I wasn't using. And I did it in those boxes where, whatever you can get in there, it's one price. But I still wrapped up the hard drives real good. He didn't have a problem with that. I think I sent Barb, you remember Barb, sent her a webcam I wasn't using. She didn't have a problem with that. I sent Fred that mixer. I sent him a mixer. Well, it broke, but not from shipping or anything like that.
Well, that was probably Fred.
But they didn't. I didn't have any problem with using the U.S. Postal Service.
But they do
mix up. I'll at times get my neighbor's mail sometimes.
Yeah, that's, I'm not against the post office. They do offer great service, and I don't know why people get jacked up. It's like, oh, we got to raise it a penny. Oh my gosh, the sky's falling. You're going to raise it a penny.
So
I see pennies on the ground when I go outside. It's not a big deal. Just do it. My experiences are mostly just with one individual.
Tim, how much is gas at your way? Because it's really going down here. 236 or something.
Yeah. I tell you what, we're at about two thirds the price it was 6 months, 4 or 5, 6 months ago. It's probably the one thing I'm not going to complain about. I know I kind of get on a tear about things. I'm really not a complainer. I can't stand people who complain. I'm just very passionate about things, and unfortunately, this kind of gives me a podium at times. But I tell you what, I think the price of gas has been too high for too long.
Yep.
In an economy that's based on getting things and people from place to place, this is a very welcome relief, and It's a very good thing. I'm not quite sure. You know what? I'll tell you what. It's very interesting, the difference in the prices, because for the longest time, I mean, you could go to any station anywhere around here, and it was like roughly within 3 cents.
Right.
And you could always, you know, maybe hit the Sam's Club or whatever, was always about 2-3 cents less. I mean, it's like rock solid. They all kind of jacked up a few cents here and there. They all went down a few cents here and there. But it was all very, like when you adjust the settings on your computer and you've got them locked. And so you adjust one little bar up and they all go up. But I'm telling you what, man, as these prices are falling, I can't believe, I don't know if Sam's is just moving more fuel more quickly. And so they're getting more and more trucks in, and each truck is bringing cheaper and cheaper fuel in. But the it's stunning how much more quickly I'm seeing the price fall at the Sam's, and so it's not unusual for it to be like 20 cents cheaper there. I'm about, you know, Sam's Club, but there's also a Costco. It's a very similar situation where, and, you know, of course they sell their gas. I understand it's that cost. I mean, they don't make any money doing it. It's just a service to get you in their stinking store.
Exactly.
Which, you know, right or wrong, but that's
yeah, we have a convenience.
It's been very. I'll tell you what. It's nice to know. It really feels good that I kind of feel like I have some. I have discretion for the first time in years. I feel like I have discretionary fuel. Like, it's like, you know what? If I want to take 4 or 5 gallons and just go somewhere, mm-hmm. like, you know. I used to enjoy driving. Now it's like I could only go like where I had to go. I couldn't, you know, the fuel was too expensive. Now it's like, hey, you know what? We actually take a little Sunday drive or do whatever. Mm-hmm. It's, oh, man, it really feels good.
Like anyway, we have, was, like I work
what
in.
What's the question?
I work in. Well, hey, no, you answered it. About gas, price of gas. I work in Maryland.
Sorry about that.
I work in Maryland, and for whatever reason, it was like 20 cents or so cheaper. But now, than it was in where I live in Pennsylvania, in Hanover. But now they call it up. Actually, well, I think we're a little cheaper now than where I was getting it. But it's just all because of OPEC. They don't want to reduce production, and the demand is high, and so the barrels of oil just keep on dropping. Actually, it did go up the other day a little bit. But it was well over 100 bucks a barrel, and then it's like down to 50 some, I believe, now.
It was the price, yeah, the price of crude per barrel was way, way over like that magic number that for decades you kept hearing. Like, if it reached this number, you know, I don't know what it was, 100, 110, but there was like this magic, like this ceiling that once the price of crude hit that number, like the whole world was just going to like implode, because it markets, you know, all the analysts just said the markets couldn't handle whatever. And I remember like when it crept up, it really was kind of like a doomsday kind of situation in some circles, and you watch it, and then it got above it and nobody died. And then it got above it some more, got above the ceiling. And it's like, wow, the sun came up the next day. And you know what?
You just compensated.
The market, was able to actually, you know, not, I know that just, like I said, personally, it wasn't comfortable. And I'm sure that a lot of business, it was very, very uncomfortable. A lot of, you know, decisions had to be made, the fuel and this and that, and, you know, pass it on to the customer or whatever. But it was just really interesting that for the longest time, there was a ceiling that had been, you know, imagined, had been put in place, you know. And as that number, you know, as it crept up to that, you know, that caused a lot of anxiety in the markets, and a lot, you know, that had a lot of effects. You know, the fact that it was just like approaching that. You know what? For the longest time, it actually was above it, and you know what? Nobody died. The whole thing, it all kind of worked itself out. But I did want to say that, you know what? I live near, you know, I'm near Pittsburgh, but I'm actually like in between Pittsburgh and the Ohio border. So, you know, about halfway, I'd say roughly. So the fuel, if I travel west, you know, like 20 minutes while I'm in Ohio, and the price of gasoline is always, you know, 15, 20 cents cheaper. Really? Well, some of that's taxes, you know, PA taxes, you know, so, but the main factors that, you know, and I hear it all the time, oh, it's so cheap over there. It's not entirely the taxes. It's actually that all of the fuel, gasoline, delivered to the other side of the river comes from, it's a different market. So it's coming from somewhere, I don't know, somewhere west of here, like in a hundreds of miles west of here, all the fuel's coming from there. Once you go on this side of the Ohio River, you're in Pennsylvania, all the fuel's actually coming from like the Eastern Seaboard or something. So, you know, it's often the prices are around the same. It's always just, you know, a little bit cheaper over there, but it's interesting to see where the price over there began dropping much, much sooner than it did over here.
What is it up your way, Martin?
250, 240.
A little higher.
Yeah, I pump my own gas.
Oh, by the way, did you get that new Honda?
Yes. So you talked about Christmas gifts.
I wasn't sure if you were really getting one. What did you get?
Well, my wife and I have been shopping around for a while, and with all
them new cars run on wheatgrass. You don't even know what gasoline.
I think it's hemp milk up here in the Portland, up in the Pacific Northwest. It's hemp something.
Hemp and good vibes, man.
That's right. And coffee.
Don't Norton my mood, man.
We had been looking around for a while. We knew what we wanted, so when we walked in, you know, we knew what we were looking for, and the prices were so good, and dealer incentives and stuff like that. We ended up getting a brand new 2015 Honda Pilot.
Oh, that's the big one, yeah.
Yeah. So my that's my wife's car, so she's driving it. I can use it when I need to for, you know, transporting servers and stuff, but yeah. I'm, you know, I drive 100 miles a day sometimes, and so it's kind of. It's kind of silly for me to drive it when my Impala gets the same gas mileage. It's smaller.
Mm-hmm.
So,
right.
And she just drives 5 miles a day.
So. I love the CRX. I'll get 30 miles on the highway. It's only four cylinder, but it's all wheel drive, but I just love it. My last three cars have all been Hondas.
Yeah. We had a Honda. I had a Honda years ago, like an old Honda, and it just ran and ran and ran. But, no, this one's nice. I think it's a 6, and then it's got some eco mode, so when you're on the freeway, it'll actually drop cylinders, shut them down, and we bought it on Christmas Eve, and then turn around and put 600 miles on it, because we drove down into California.
Right.
we were like, sweet, then we can load all of our stuff in. So
I saw your post, but I still wasn't sure if you were actually getting one.
Yeah, no, my plan was to be in and out in 2 hours, and that turned into 4.
No, it's like buying a house.
I was a little disappointed in that, because I was like, we want to get down and visit some family.
You're signing your life away.
How does that happen? How do you get in and out of a car dealership in 2 hours?
Well, I don't know. That's what I was hoping.
Actually, it's probably a lot of times you're in there longer than that.
Well, I think if I went in with cash, paid for the whole thing, threw down a wad of money, grabbed the keys from the car salesman, and got in the car and drove away, maybe. I could probably do it in 2.5 hours. But
no, because you go in there with that much money, and they want to get you for the clear coat. Seal it, and then, you know, you're there in our 2 hours, because they're gonna want to rust proof it, and you know what, and it's like you're there 4 hours, whether you're like the easiest pushover in the world or you're just like me when you go in there. So I think there's like just a time limit. You're there that time. But I wanted to ask you, what did she drive before?
We were driving a very 96 Honda, no, 96 Toyota Avalon. So it has almost 250,000 miles on it. It's all paid for. It's going to be the kid's car.
Yeah. Oh, you still have it?
Well, yeah, it's Blue Book. It was silly to trade it in. We wouldn't get much for it. But my son turns 15 in April.
They last forever, too.
And so it's going to be the kid mobile.
96 Avalon. You know what? It's a really good car to put the wife in, send her, right? You know, it's nice, roomy. I kind of lost my train of thought, but
yeah, nice. Well, did anybody else do any computer work this week besides me, or
friends? A couple computer reloads, just a couple calls regarding just a new laptops, so I reloaded that. I'm reloading a computer right now. Nothing too crazy. I think, it was holidays. So last time we spoke, and then it was just holidays. And so nothing too bad. My in-laws got a new computer, so was able to set that up for them. But no, nothing as far as computer stuff goes. It's been quiet, you know, a lot of stuff coming up. I'm doing some research for some offsite storage, for a company. I've got one company who wants to do an audit. So I was, you know, I've got their information printed out and went through my notes of when it was purchased and the price it was purchased, and getting that written up for them. But everybody on my side, at least, it's been really quiet. They usually go on vacation, and so I've been able to try to catch up on paperwork, but there's always something just out of reach looming, and so I've been dealing with that.
You did get a new phone recently.
Yeah. Oh, that's cool. Actually, it's great. It's, you know, I went from just an S4 to an S5 Galaxy. So I've had no issues with it. My wife, we still need to work on her phone to get her up and running. She's working on it. It's going to go fine. But, you know, she needs, you know, there's certain apps that she wants to get on there and, you know, in her tablet. And so she brought her tablet with her. She liked that. She was doing some book reading on the road with it. And yeah, I mean, everything's going really well here. Just keeping busy. Really, just I can see that 2015 is going to be the time where I think Obando Computing is going to have to expand. I don't really have much of a choice when I lay in bed and think about work.
Well, at least you guys get paid for it. I only do stuff for friends. I won't take any money.
Well, I mean, to a certain extent.
Yeah, I like getting off at 3:30 every day, and I'm sure you guys don't know what that is.
What, 3:30?
Yeah.
Oh, I do. My alarm went off at 4 this morning.
I get off at work in the afternoon at 3:30, and
off work at 3:30.
Yeah, yes, I like fixing PCs for myself, but I don't do it for my friends, well, family mainly, and close friends. And I won't take a penny from them. Just don't want to. And people think I'm crazy. They call me Pizza Tech, but they're family. I don't want to do it full time.
Who calls you Pizza Tech?
Well, people, because I don't take money. People might, or you know.
I'll tell you, anybody calls you a pizza tech, send him my way.
I don't know as much. I'm not up with it.
Do it for a living. That's
I
not
don't.
To say that he couldn't.
I do it because
he actually has. And the guy was the bomb. It's just that he has a sweet 9-to-5. So get off his back, man.
Nah. Well, the last two infections, you know, you were helping me with that one, Martin. Then I had another one where I couldn't. After I cleaned this stuff in, I couldn't get it boot up again at all, and. That guy, he bought a new PC and I wound up doing a clean install anyway, but it's just the last two have been really bad. So for me,
yeah. Well, speaking of PC cleanups, one of the things that's happening right now is, and it's, I don't know how long this is going to last. So if you're on the fence about doing, you know, using Foolish IT D7, go there now. $99 for the first year for the D7-2 single tech annual subscription. So that's, you save $80. Foolishit.com, but he's got a sale
what's up
going.
With that? I mean, is that just like a sale he's got going on?
Yeah, he's got a sale going on right now.
Yeah. Sweet.
So if you're on the fence, I mean, if nothing else, try it for a year and see if you want to renew it. But $99, you can make that up in no time. Sure. So check that out.
Yeah, something like that. If I got into it full time, which this stage of my life, that's a must D7.
Yeah. Yeah. My kids have iPhone 5s, 5S, 5C, the color ones, 5Cs. And gosh, I hate those cables. I'm always fighting with the cables. The cables are bad. They're breaking. I don't know what it is, but they get you on the cables. Kids each have two or three cables a piece and they're all broken. One may work, one may not work. You plug in a charger, it doesn't work. So what happens is
if you had cable A and charger A and cable B and charger B,
you can't use it for the new one.
It would be fine. Like, but as soon as you put cable A with charger B or the other way around, forget it. No dice. Anyway.
Yeah. Well, and sometimes it's even if you put cable A with charger A, it doesn't work.
Yeah. It's like it's cagey. It's
right.
Cagey about it.
And no, so I go Apple. To my local computer store or you know a cable store, and they have some chargers for
computer
the
store. Just go in and mess with them.
Right.
But how do you fix this?
So they've got some chargers or some cables, and I buy them at, you know, $8 a piece, and they don't work. So my funds and my son's phone is notorious for just not working, and so he has to take one of my cables that what I bought, and I think I've shown it on the show before, was at OLF. Linode was giving out these kind of multi-prong cables, and so it had a USB and an iPhone 4, the new iPhone 5, two mini pins, and you know, it was like this octopus cable type looking thing. And my son has that because it works great, but I need it because I need it for my tool bag. Well, Monoprice came out with an advertisement saying that they have fixed their cables for the iPhones. So I purchased two of them, They're the lightning cables, or actually I bought three of them. They're $12 a piece, and they're the lightning cables, but it sounds like they didn't work, and now they've really worked on getting everything up and running. They're $7 cheaper than Apple's, so I'm hoping that these will work. Like I said, I bought three of them. They're the mono price, and I've never... This is actually going to be my first purchase buying anything from mono price. I know a lot of people have before.
Mono price is awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, see, I have a local shop here, and so I usually go get cables from there. Right. You know, but the cables that my local shop has, they even have a return policy. You can return your cable once. So I know that the cables there aren't very good, but these are 3-foot USB to what is the lightning, whatever Apple calls their newfangled adapter. $12 right now on sale through Mono Price, and
looks nice.
Yeah, so I bought three of them. Hopefully they'll work. I can get my parts back. The kids can be happy with their phones.
Isn't that a gripe for you, Apple guys? You can't use the same cable on a newer phone that you had on. Android, I can still charge up my Droid Droid X with my new cable, and vice versa. It's just crazy.
Well, like, to be fair, the new connector is far superior to the old one. You got to give it to the old connector. I don't even know what they called it, but it was.
Are you talking old iPhone connectors?
Yeah, the previous one that we all knew. With the iPhones, it was the iPods too, right? I mean, they all took like that same.
But why couldn't they make it universal to work on all of them? That's what I don't get.
I tell you what, that thing, it was big and it was clunky, but it was a very robust connector. Yeah. And I think that the mini USB that they use, these Android, let me start by saying that thank you for standardizing it. However, maybe you didn't pick the right one, because that crappy little connector, there's just too much stress there. Now, in my experience, what tends to wear? The connector or, the cable? Well, it tends to be the cable. Fine. It's $2-3 Throw it away, get another one. Okay, I'd rather see it wear than the charging port. That's not always the case. You had the Razer, Mitch.
Yes.
XT912. I've got the Razer Max. My wife has a Razer. We've got a couple more laying around. These phones, oh my gosh, her phone, it's almost 3 years old. That port is still perfect. So, whatever they did in those phones, it's fantastic. But in the some of the Samsung phones, and my son's Samsung tablet, and the Nexus, my Nexus tablet, they were crap. I mean, it's like just the very action of just connecting it and unconnecting it. I think the word is disconnecting. Sorry, Spurg Lords. But the very act of connecting and disconnecting it somehow wore out the port, over the course of like 9 to 12 months. It's like, that's unacceptable. But anyway, it's like, at least it is like the cable that tends to be, the weaker of the two components, and that's good. But, it's just too small, or it's too weak, or it needs to maybe have an angle on it like SATA does, or just something to kind of key it so that it can't wiggle. I really like those old Apple connectors. They were big and kind of stupid looking, but they were very robust. I don't know about this new one. I like the size and everything, but I don't know. We'll see, right? I mean, time will tell if, but it would be nice. I think every single thing in the world should have the same like plug. Yeah. Everything. Just, well, if it's line voltage, 220 coming out from my dryer, to a headphone jack, it should all have the same connector, just different colors.
There you go. Red means hot.
Yeah.
Well, I the one thing I like about the standardization that Android phones will, is that the USB mini pin, is that what they call those?
I don't know. I never got a Surface, so
It charges my phone. It charges my USB headphones. Yeah. It charges my son's headphones. It charges my quadcopter battery. Mm-hmm. And then it's like, oh, my son needs his iPhone charged. Well, where's that cable? Which one's the, I'm digging through a pile of cables to try to find one where I've got these little mini ones, coming out my ears, which is great. So,
right.
I'll let you guys know. They're supposed to come in, but I'm hoping that this will be the thing, because I'm kind of tired of throwing, you know, $7 here, $8 there, and it's like, okay, fine. I'm gonna just break down. I'm gonna buy the expensive cables and just get them to hopefully just get them to work.
So. Speaking of mono price, you know what else you can get there? You can buy a knockoff Les Paul and a Stratocaster guitar. Believe it or not, they sell those. I'm seriously, Google it. They do. I mean, yeah, but they're like, they're cheap, $100-$130. But I know,
there you go, Mitch.
But they redo them. You know, they put better, you know, electronics in them. But I saw the real thing, huh? Yeah.
Pure uncut guitar.
Yeah. But I'm surprised. I don't know where, when I was searching what to get, I don't know how I come up with that. Monoprice sells them. And actually, they sound pretty good after a guy, you know, redoes them and stuff like that. And I was surprised they sold guitars.
Yeah. Well, I came across a couple, you know, it's the holidays. People aren't very motivated to work. So here's a site. It's called myprogressbar.com. And
this sounds great, whatever it is.
It's great. Okay. So you go to myprogressbar.com. The first thing is, it says, need an excuse to avoid work? From the humble beginnings, we have helped thousands achieve their dreams. And it says type of avoidance. It has a drop down, either fixed time or work day. And so you choose like fixed time. You say, join the movement now. And then it asks you, a pop-up comes up, and it says, what kind of operating system? Windows 7, Windows 8, English, French, Mac OS, Windows Vista 2000, or Windows 95, and then a time. I'm just choose Windows 7, I'm going to hit time, 10 minutes, and I hit generate. And the web page becomes configuring updates, stage 0 of 1, 1%. Do not turn off computer until complete. Then you hit F11, and now you have full screen, and you just walk away. Because now it looks like your computer is going to do updates, and it's actually going to take 10 minutes to finish up your updates. So if you guys haven't seen, I get a kick out of it because it's funny. Myprogressbar.com.
Need an excuse to avoid work. Well, you got my attention. Type of avoidance, fixed time, work day.
Yeah,
so
choose fixed time and then click on join the movement now.
Join the movement now. All right, 10 minutes. Well, I'm sorry. Well, okay, so Windows 7. Okay, 10 minutes. What's this do?
So hit generate on the bottom corner there.
Do I want 10 minutes?
Yeah, just hit generate.
I did okay. It. What's happening?
Oh, that's fantastic.
Now on your keyboard, hit F11.
Oh, my gosh. This makes me so happy.
I'm going to lose you.
Because then it goes full screen,
oh,
right?
Oh, man.
And now walk away.
Oh, that's fantastic.
So in 10 minutes, I don't know what's going to happen in 10 minutes, but it, you know, my computer now says configuring updates stage, you know, and it will actually do it. And it's better.
This is wonderful.
If you go to the Mac one, if you just go to the back Mac one, the Mac one actually counts down 10 minutes for you. So you can do that. And then that says, mine says about 10 minutes remaining right now. So
see nothing. But then, hold on. No, it's just,
you know, I don't know. Did you stare at the whole 10 minutes, Mark? Cause I'm wondering if you put 10 minutes, if it doesn't appear to be installing updates for 5 minutes and then spends the next 5 minutes rolling them back because the updates were unsuccessful.
I don't know.
Well, it's a
joke. All I know is that this is...
That's a Windows joke.
Oh, I see. Oh, got it. I don't know. We can put for 1 minute and see what happens. So maybe you guys...
I'm doing it for one minute.
I'm sure it doesn't. That would lend credibility to it. If it just said installing for 10 minutes, nobody would actually believe that. Yeah, but if it installed for 5, and then after 5, the updates were unsuccessful, and I had to roll them back for 5, that I'd buy that.
There you go. Or if it installed it, reboot it, and then blue screen.
I'm going to put when I get back to work, I'm going to put this on there.
That's legit. Yeah, that's legit.
So if you want to have some time now, what are you going to do with that 10 minutes of free time? Well, maybe you got a Rubik's cube. You know, Rubik's cubes are out. They're kind of cool. They're hip. Maybe you got a Rubik's cube, but the problem is that you can't figure out how to solve it. RubikSolve.com, RubikSolve.com is a website you can go to. It shows you the Rubik's Cube, and you just fill in the colors of what your Rubik's Cube looks like.
Oh,
and hit solve, and it
walks
tells
you through it,
and it walks you step by step how to solve your Rubik's Cube.
Cool. That's cheesy, but it's cool, man. I dig that. That's awesome.
I don't have a Rubik's Cube because I would you. Just, I'll just, you well, you don't need that now. But if you go to Rubik's Cube,
I don't need it at all. But yeah, somebody solve. Yeah,
that's awesome. You can go to Example Cube, and it fills it all in for you. And you can hit Solve Cube, and it comes up with a web page, and it tells you how to fix it in 21 moves.
Whoa, wait, what was the last part? 21 moves, what'd you say?
Right, so Rubik's, so you click on sample cube, and it kind of mixes up the colors on the Rubik's Cube, and then you hit solve, and it comes to a web page, and it shows you in 21 moves how what to do to solve it.
Wait, 21 moves or less, or?
No, it's just in 21 moves, in 21 changes, you'll have the Rubik's Cube solved.
I gotta go there. You know the Rubik's Cube is, it's pretty amazing the legs that this thing has, considering that, you know, when Rubik built the thing, it was really just, I'm trying to remember why he even did it. I mean, it was just like a, I can't remember if it was just structurally, if he was trying to solve a problem, but how to build such a thing. I think that it's certainly, it's pretty amazing what, could the vision, like going, sitting in front of a TV screen, and it tells you how to move the thing. This, he'd be like, why do people even have those things that far in the future? So I think I have the previous app. Apple. Input your Rubik's Cube configuration. Wow. Okay. So I see it. So you just fill it in.
Right.
Like.
So, but go to the bottom right bottom, and it says example cube.
Oh, okay. Got it.
So click that, and you can kind of see what you're supposed to do.
Yeah.
And then go to solve cube, and there's your directions.
Oh, okay. So it shows you 21 moves in the example. Gotcha. Right.
So I don't know what if you have one, what it would look like, but...
Should I go get one?
Well, you do it after the show.
Okay, so you don't want to do an on-air test. You know what? Did you try this? Because it might be complete crap.
I don't have a Rubik's Cube.
Oh, you know what? Hey, you know what? This is like you recommending, like a feminine product. I mean, it's like, it looks good. It seems effective. But with no real proof. I mean, this thing, it might just be crap.
It could just be. I don't know. I'm just. Yeah. It looked kind of cool. So I will go buy a Rubik's Cube before the next show and try it out.
But don't buy. No, I'll try it.
Well, I can get one at the dollar store. Good grief. It's not like they're that expensive.
Oh, no. I think it'll fall.
Or do I need to go with the pure Rubik's Cube? I can't go with just a cheap knockoff.
But it's. You know what? I'll tell you what. No, buy. Just go spend this $8. They're like $7, $8. At the toy store, or at the real thing, it's like $70. I mean, why wouldn't you do that?
I'll go buy one.
Because a cheap one, you know, it's going to sit there. The third time you pick it up, 10 years from now, you're going to just twist it. It's going to fly apart and just throw it away. So
the only time I've ever solved a Rubik's Cube is by removing the stickers and putting them back on.
You can't do that.
I know. So I will go buy. My family's going out today. I will go buy a Rubik's Cube for the show and test it out. And next show, I will have it. I will have tried it, and so I can verify whether or not this is...
But you've already admitted you're a cheater. How do we believe you?
You're just going to have to take my word for it.
I wouldn't do that.
Okay.
I'll tell you what. I'll test it, too, and then we'll have independent tests.
There we will. Mitch can come over and visit each one of us and watch us. Yeah. That way he can be our judge.
Yeah. Well, Mitch can come over anytime. You know what? It's funny. I was actually thinking about this. I shouldn't tell anybody this but publicly because... This doesn't work if people know about it. But I learned to solve the thing when I was a kid, right? So it's one of those things. It really is like it's right to buy it. I'll put it down. 3 years later, I'll pick it up, or actually now the kids like to mix it up and give it to me, and so yeah, I'll solve it. I go 3 years and I'll just pick it up, and it's like, wow, I can still remember how to do this. It's, but you know, every once in a while you'll be like in some, you know, visiting some folks or in a public place, and you'll see one sitting there, right? Very rarely, but it happens. And so, like, I think the last time we were invited over to, like, one of my daughter's friend's house. We've become friends with their parents. So, I think people were out by the pool, people were in the kitchen. I'm kind of, like, just going from inside, outside. And I see one sit on the shelf. And I have this, it's almost a compulsion, but I like to pick up Rubik's Cubes that are mixed up. Solve them without telling anyone, and then put it back, and just not say anything. I do this all the time. So it's not that it's not a compulsion that this cube has to be solved. It's just that I must create this chaos in my wake, like at a further later date. And then I just imagine how funny that is when everybody's confronting each other: who solved this? How did this happen? And then everybody's fighting, and there's. Not that I'm trying to create dissent, but that I just find that funny. So, anyway, that's kind of like a thing I do.
I like it. Sounds good.
I find Rubik's Cubes, I solve them, and I just put them back and not say anything.
Nice.
No, it's not nice.
It is nice.
I don't even think you were listening.
Right,
because it'll work.
You like to solve Rubik's Cubes and create dissent among people.
When I come to your house and I find this Rubik's Cube of yours that's still mixed up because the site didn't work, I will solve it and put it back.
All right.
But you weren't listening.
I was listening.
You know what? My wife does the same thing. It's okay. I'm okay with it.
All right.
I'm okay with that.
All right. Well, I'm going
to
read
stuff I say. Nobody should be listening to anymore.
So we weren't able to get to it today, but I want to do a show. I've been asked, and I've got an email here from Mike. And Mike says, "Hey, Martin, I'm one of your many listeners on Geeksters, and I guess I'd be remiss if I didn't say awesome show. It's always informative with good humor thrown in. I was watching episode 140 when you and Tim were talking and discussing Clonezilla. I'm a tech at a private school in North Virginia, and I've used Clonezilla countless of times to deploy updated Xubuntu installations to the students' computers one at a time via live USB method. You stated when you go to a lab, you have it on a Pixieboot server. Do you mass deploy using it? That's what I'd like to do. Is that a dedicated server or USB drive with the server software installed in it? Do you use any particular guides to set it up or just documentation on Clonezilla's website? There are so many guides out there, either too old or seeming to skip not explained steps. I'm pretty proficient in Linux now, but there's still more to learn. Any assistance would be much appreciated. Thanks, Mike Henderson." What I'd like to do is for the next show, go ahead and talk about what exactly is a Pixieboot server. And Pixie is spelled PXE, and it's a pre-execution environment. And so I'm going to go ahead and write up some documentation. I'm going to have it ready. And so if that's okay with you guys, is the next show I can spend some time talking about what a Pixieboot server is. I talked about it just in Clonezilla, but a Pixieboot server is just a server that you can boot into prior to getting into Windows. So my Pixieboot server has Clonezilla, but it also has things like DBAN. It also has things like Spinrite. It's a place where you can put utilities that you can boot to. And it needs to be stuff in before you get into Windows. So these are going to be like Clonezilla and Spinrite and DBAN. But if that's okay with you guys, like I said, I'd like to go ahead and do that.
Yeah. I encourage you. It's, to me, Pixie is like, it's like that annoying thing that I see because something wrong got checked in the BIOS. I mean, to me, right. That's all it is. And so I've kind of like tinkered with it once, but it never really got anywhere. I'm like, oh, I don't know what this is. I don't need it, whatever. But so I never reached any resolution there. And if somebody who's got it working and this is what it does can show me, it's like, well, man, I'm all over that because you've mentioned it so many times. It's like, that's something I really like to know how to do. So that would be like totally outstanding.
They're all Wake on LAN enabled, aren't they?
Well, Wake on LAN's completely different.
It's separate. It's not related. Yeah.
So I'll go ahead and get it written up, and then next show, if you guys will give me some time, we'll spend some time talking about what a Pixieboot server is, what it can do, and then how to implement it inside of your environment, because it's different whether or not you're in an enterprise environment or not.
Okay.
Real quick, I'd like to kind of tease something that I'm working on. I've been cleaning out my shop. You know, it's last day of the year. It's kind of a good time to do that. It's stuff seems to just walk in. It's like, I'm finding stuff. I mean, I didn't know where it came from. Well, I'll tell you what, I've discovered enough things that are so weird or bizarre or old. I'm finding things I don't even know what they are. I'm having to like Google them, and I'm getting like very few results. So I'm putting together like a collection of things, like a what is it kind of thing. Mm-hmm. And so I think I'm going to have a pretty good discussion, just like weird things that I found in my shop and kind of the stories behind, you know, like, and what they actually like do or what they were supposed to. So I'm actually looking forward to coming back and doing our show.
Oh, that'd be cool.
Yeah.
Very cool.
I'm always looking forward to it. but I have found some bizarre things, like, wow. I can't believe I was alive in a world like a decade ago that this was like a thing. So I'll tease it with it.
Well, yeah, if get pictures, we can put them up in the show notes and stuff. Cool. Well, guys, Mitch, and Tim, happy New Year. This is it. This is our last show for 2014.
Wow. Unbelievable.
Yeah. Whatever.
Another show, another year, huh, Tim?
Yeah. Another year. We got this one under our belts. I say let's. Is this we are starting a new year, right? Though, but it'll be at the start of the next fiscal week.
Yeah.
Okay. So we do follow the calendar with annually, but not weekly.
Yeah. My head hurts now.
Okay. All right.
Well, just like Mike, if you want to get a hold of us, send us an email or voicemail. Mitch, what's the best way they can do that?
Geesters@podnuts.com and send us a voicemail at 707-6-PODNUT. That's 707-676-3688.
Very nice. Tim, if people want to reach out and ask you, hey, what is this? I mean, you know, computer-wise, not like medically or anything.
That looks angry. I'm Tim Bauermeister on the G+. You can search for Tim Bauermeister or In Like Tim. You can also search that up. You'll find me. That's the way to get me. So thank you, everyone, for an awesome year, and can't wait to make it back. Thank you, guys. I love you to death. I love being a part of the show. Thank you, Podnuts. Thank you, Door. Everything. So awesome. Thank you so much.
Yep. I'm Martin Obando with a frog in my throat. I'm all verklempt. You can get me at martin@obandocomputing.com.
Oh, okay.
I am M. Obando in Google+, and of course, I'm Obando Computing in the chat room. Hey, guys, again, thank you so much for hanging with us this year. Looking forward to next week, a new year, but the same Geeksters. We're coming back. We'll just be just another year older. All right, guys, have a great fiscal week and a happy new year. Be safe out there tonight. Bye, guys. We'll